first reading is on page 989, and the other one, if you want to put your finger in the page of 1149, it's Luke 14, beginning at verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And the second reading is from James, chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor person in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Here, there's a good seat for you here," but say to the one who is poor, "Can you stand over there or sit on the floor by my feet?" Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Would you like to take a seat and let's say a prayer as we begin to think a bit more about this subject? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do welcome us. You come to seek and save the lost, and you welcome us into your family. Please help us to think now about what it means to be a welcoming church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're back to our vision statement, and we're here for the last time, really. We're here for the last time this morning. And a lot of it has been, I guess you could say, aspirational. It's what we want to be. We're not claiming that we already are these things yet, the waterfront churches, not necessarily, but this is where we want to go. This is what we want to be. So this vision statement is really for us. It's for us to set our sights on what we want to be and a direction that we want to go in to help us to go there. And we really want to be, as it says there, a welcoming church family. We want to be all these things. We want to be a welcoming church family that exists to help one another know and follow Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community so that they can know him too. And we've said also this, we do this by meeting, praying, worshipping, learning, serving, and reaching out with the gospel, united by our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's aspirational. This is where we want to go. We want to prioritize meeting and praying and worshipping and learning and serving and reaching out with the gospel. We want to do all these things. And this morning, we are particularly thinking about being a welcoming church family. Why do we need to prioritize this? Why do we need to talk about this? Well, I think we're aware of the possibility that we could be unwelcoming. We really could. We'd never try to be. No, we wouldn't intentionally try to be. But the truth is, some churches do think they're very welcoming, when in fact, they're really not. And I want to suggest that being welcoming doesn't actually come that naturally to us. And perhaps, I don't know, perhaps not particularly to our denomination. You might see that they sometimes use what's called Common Worship, which is a kind of service book for ministers. And we use some of our words on the screen from that book. And there's words in black, which are the words we say, and there's words in red, which you never see, because they're the directions to the minister. And some of the words in red, which are called the rubrics, say stuff like this. The president greets the people. And then it says, words of welcome or introduction may be used. I don't know how enthusiastic that sounds to you. It ought to say, the minister greets the people warmly. It might say, words of welcome must be used, or welcome the people warmly, or something like that. But it's all a little bit, welcome them if you have to. Do you know? So I think we need to make a deliberate, really conscious effort to be welcoming, if we're going to do it well. And then we might be. If we do it deliberately and consciously, we might actually be welcoming. If we aren't deliberate and don't make a conscious effort, there's every chance we won't be. Well, what's the issue here? What is the issue at stake? Well, I think it's something like a car park. Car parking. Now, when you pull up to a car park, you might get the top sign which says spaces. And you're like, yes, I can go in there and park my car. Brilliant. Or when you go to a car park, you might see the next one down. You might see it says full. Now, I think churches can be a bit like car parks, can't they? Because when you turn up there, you might get the sense that, yes, there's a space for you here. We've got room for you. We'd love you to come in, not only to park your car, but to join us and be part of what's going on here. We're getting to know the living God. Come and be part of that. But there may be another signal, another message given out by the church, which is, no, we're full. We don't need you here, really. We're full. No more spaces for you. So we can be a bit like that. Put it another way, we can be rather like a closed circle, a group that is hard to get into, and everyone's left, newcomers are left on the outside. That's hard. Or we can be more like this, an open circle, saying, come on in, you can join us. That's the issue we're talking about here. What kind of church are we going to be? What kind of signal are we going to send to people? Well, let's talk about what welcoming is really about. What is welcoming really about? What's it about? Well, let's start with this. When do we usually say welcome? When do we usually say, I'll put that as a question. When do we usually say welcome? When people come in, don't we? We say when people come in, as they arrive. I think welcoming is about making it as easy as possible for someone to come in from the outside and as pleasant as possible for them when they come in. I wonder if you've ever gone to an unfamiliar place or joined a new group or a new activity. It's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy to turn up somewhere totally new. In March, I joined a tennis club that plays at Coppleston School on a Tuesday evening and a Saturday afternoon. I haven't been for a while because I'm a fair weather tennis player. So I turned up there in March and I only knew one person, and that was Pradeep at the back. He told me about the club. But the first time I went, was Pradeep there? The one person I knew? No, he wasn't. And how did I feel? Well, the people weren't unkind at all. They were very pleasant indeed. But I felt slightly awkward. I felt self-conscious. I felt like the new boy. And then there was also the matter of my pretty rusty tennis, which only makes you feel even more self-conscious as you double fault after double fault. And it goes on. Yeah. But that was really good. That was a good experience for me, particularly as a minister, because it made me feel how it must be for people coming to a church for the first time. Because it's not easy to come into a place, a group of people for the first time when you don't really know anyone. And so welcoming is about making it as easy as possible for people on the outside of the Christian community to come in to the community, Christian community. And it's about making it as pleasant as possible for them when they come in. It's also about something else. Now, does anyone recognize these people? Where are they from? The Antiques Roadshow. Very good. The Antiques Roadshow. I like the Antiques Roadshow. The best bit is when They value the item, don't you think? Right at the end, they've talked to you all about its history, and then they tell you what it's worth. And then you're blown away that something so ordinary, sat in the garage or the loft for years, can be worth so many hundreds of pounds, so many thousands of pounds. And I think welcoming people is a bit like that. It's about valuing them as important, as special. And if we give people a good welcome, and we make it easy for them to come into the Christian community, we're making them feel like they matter to us. That's when they feel like we care, and they feel valued, don't they? They feel valued. Okay. Well, next question is, why should we bother? Why should we bother to be welcoming? Why should we bother? Well, we want them to come back. We want them to come back. We thought last week, didn't we, about how important it is for people to hear about the Lord Jesus, if they're going to believe in him and trust in him, if they're going to have a new life in him. We thought about it last week. But in order to have that new life in Jesus, they need to hear about him. And to hear about him, they need to come to a place where they're going to be told about him. And we believe this is a place where they can be told about a friendship, a relationship with the living God. But they're not going to come back. They're not going to come and come back if they don't feel welcome. If they don't have a good time, if it's awkward or unpleasant. But if they have a good experience of coming in, and they're made to feel valued or cared for, they might come again. So that's the first reason why. Second reason is, God values people. God really values people. We may not care all that much sometimes about other people. But God really cares about them. He really, really cares about them. And the job of the church family is to communicate what God feels about people. And people are... People will associate what the church does with who God is. So it's down to us, very often, to express to people what God makes of them. And we can show that he really loves them, and they're precious to him, and he values them by the welcome we give them. And the reading we had in James chapter 2 reminds us that God values everyone equally. Everyone deserves the same good welcome that will communicate God's love to them. It's easy for us, isn't it, to adjust our welcome of people according to a whole variety of things. Have you noticed that if someone's in the passage it says if they're very rich, we can give them a very rich welcome, and we can treat them extra special. If they're poor, we might discriminate against them. It may be to do with social status, whether they have a high social status or a low one. I met the mayor last week, and she was wearing her gold chain, and you can go an extra mile for someone who looks like they have a high social status, but you can ignore someone. You may feel like you want to ignore someone who's less obviously important. Or perhaps by their age. Perhaps we treat people differently if they're young or old, or by their family status if they're married or single. But the truth is, in the church, everyone deserves the same warm welcome. Right, now, this is back to you, really. This part is back to you. What's involved in giving people a good welcome to the church family? I could do this bit, but I think it's better if we do this together. What do you think? And we've got Bob with his microphone again. I want to ask you again to sort of think a little bit about these things, but just think, what is involved in giving people a warm welcome into the church family?
Food.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go through all the things we can do to give people a good welcome. Food is down. Shake their hand when they come in. Hugs. Hugs. Hands up, who would like a hug when they come in? Hugs, maybe. Maybe if you know someone quite well, I would say. Hugs, question mark. Lorna would like a hug on her second week. Not the first time. Did someone say consistent? Consistent warm welcome. Where does the welcome start?
Outside the church, possibly even.
Outside the church.
You see people looking, wondering where to come in, where the entrance is.
Yes. Yeah. Outside the church. A board outside the church that says, welcome, service, everyone welcome. That's quite good.
But no, I mean, as people are walking up.
As people are walking up. So welcome is outside, possibly. Okay. What else is important in a welcome, Hilary?
Names and remembering names.
Yes, apologies if I forgot anyone's name this morning when I went around. Names.
Friendly and smiling, because some people get a bit anxious, they can't remember a name. I don't think it matters whether you address somebody by the actual Christian name, but to actually just say, morning, how are you?
Yeah. Kind, addressing people warmly. Sienna, you've had your hand up. Let's get a younger person's perspective.
Not forgetting about other people. So if, like, when we have biscuits and stuff, sometimes people hand out the biscuits and don't just go around to the people that you know, try and go to the people that you don't know.
Oh, that's a really good one. Go to the people you don't know. Yes. More from Christine.
This is a little bit sidetracked, but actually our daughter and son-in-law are about to start a church plant in Salisbury. And our grandson, who's just about 5, said to his mum, "Mummy, if we go to this new church, will there be biscuits?" So I don't think we can actually sort of undervalue the value of biscuits. You know, if you've got families coming, the biscuits obviously make an impression on the children. There's more to worship than just biscuits, I know, but that seemed to be quite...
I think Simon and Christine have covered the food and the biscuits quite adequately now. So thank you. That's great. So refreshments are important. What else goes into a welcome, though? Is it just the human contact? I'm really glad we've talked about human contact and food. What else? Sincerity. Okay. What about the environment?
Spiritually feeding the person. I'm bad.
All right, Christine, we might have to share the mic a little bit around, I think.
Spiritually feeding someone.
Spiritually feeding someone, yes. What else? Information. Bob, you choose people.
A nice service, Paul, make you feel happy to see everyone.
Yeah. Did you say nice service?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about the environment? Oh, sorry.
When you're on holiday and you get a welcome in the church.
When you're on holiday and you go to a different church and you get a welcome. Yeah, that's important, isn't it? Terry.
I think the atmosphere, when you walk into a church, you can feel an atmosphere straight away.
Yeah.
If the whole thing is welcoming, then... you're more likely to relax and to make friends.
I think that smiling is really important instead of just having a frown.
Let's just think a second as well. Thank you. Smiling, I'll put that down. What do we think about the environment, though? There's lots of other ways of communicating welcome, aren't there? Warmth and comfort. If you invite someone to your home and the heating's not on, and the lights are off, and they come up the path and they're dark and the house is dark, and that doesn't feel very welcoming, does it? So what did you say? What did you get? Warmth and comfort. And yeah. Warmth and comfort, and I would say a level of, it's got to be kind of clean, isn't it? Tidy. If it's a complete tip, you're not going to feel that welcome, really. Open body language. Yeah. Any more, Bob? Do you want to just... we're running out of space here.
Banners and colourful posters and things like that.
Colour. Banners. Right. Thank you all. I think that'll do for now. I think what this shows is that there's lots of great ideas here, and it shows that actually there's quite a lot goes into welcoming and to being a welcoming church family. It's amazing, isn't it, that it actually starts quite a long time before the service. It starts with, what's the condition of the pathway up to the church? Are there leaves everywhere from the tree? Is the step too high for people to get into? Are the lights on? Is it warm enough? It requires people to come down, doesn't it, to do those things in order to make sure a church is lit, warm, tidy. And then you've got all the other things we mentioned about the human contact and the care for people as they come in. And actually, I think one thing that we need to put our finger on is that all these things require a bit of effort. Welcoming is an active thing. You cannot be welcoming if you're completely passive. Welcoming is a proactive thing where you are you're taking some initiative and you're doing something to make others feel that like they matter, like they care. When I brought my tennis racket, I thought I would also bring my shoes. Such an important part of welcoming people is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. You've got to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And Jesus said something like that. He said, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So we've got to just think, how would we like to feel? How would we like to be treated if we turned up at someone's house or someone else's church that we'd never been to before? How would we like to be made to feel? Right. Last thing. Whose job is it to welcome people?
Everyone.
All right. That is the right answer. It's easy to think, isn't it? It's the vicar's job. It's the welcomers on the door's job. It's the outgoing extroverted people's job. It's not my job. What have we said? We said we're a welcoming church family. It's one thing, isn't it, to show up at someone's house and one of the adults is welcoming. It's another thing if both the adults are welcoming and the children are perhaps, I don't know, just ignore you. But if everyone's welcoming, what if the children are also playing a part in welcoming guests? If they're offering drinks, it's amazing, isn't it? It's a complete environment. We're working towards it. But in a church, it can be the same. If we're all welcoming, if we're all taking a bit of initiative, making a bit of an effort, then people will really feel welcomed. Last couple of things. This is it. This is the kind of church we want to be, don't we? We want to be an open circle. We want to be a church that really is an easy gateway for people to come into. Where we're not saying we're at capacity, but we're saying we can welcome you. We want to draw you in. We're giving you pathways into our church. And this is so important that we're finishing our series on this note, because it's Advent. Next week's Advent Sunday. And through December, we hope that more people will come to services. And how we receive them and how we welcome them could be crucial to whether they stay then into the new year and continue with us on this adventure of following Jesus together.